Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Hello and welcome back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. We've got a special edition for you today. Very honored for the second year in a row to host Alyssa Murray Cometti and Emily Considine Mullaney for another IL Women Top 50 Players for the 2026 edition. I'm Kevin Brown for Inside Lacrosse. Alyssa, Emily, how we doing?
Good. Quite for another season.
Getting pumped. The season is fast approaching. By the time you're listening to this, the full top 50 has been unveiled. We've got plenty of takes about how it all unfolded, how the rankings were compiled. Alyssa, you said something that really struck my ear while starting this process because it was vastly similar on the men's side. Now, after graduating a couple, like the double class in 2024, we thought the dearth of talent in 2025 was going to be hard to calculate with an exercise like this. Turns out this offseason, it was sort of the same deal.
Yeah, I remember last year feeling that way too, and it was just pretty challenging. You know, you had some staples, you know, you had the BC trio of Rachel Clark, Emma Lapinto, and McKenna Davis, but it really anchoring the older players and then a bunch of younger shifting in. But then this year I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like repeat times 100. It felt like there were so many young players that made an impact last year. And then with the departures of a lot, it's like, how do you, you know, divvy that up and how do you rank? And so it was a lot of going back and forth and figuring out just kind of a combination of their impact and trajectory or what potential trajectory feeling like they could have in 2026.
It's fun to see where 9 of these players will be on the Team USA roster playing in Japan this summer for the World Championship. Where they lie on this list, where the reigning Twerton winner has landed on this list. You always got to start with number one. Emily, was there any choice besides Chloe Humphrey for the top ranking?
Yeah, I didn't see how there could have been. You know, a freshman Twerton winner is pretty incredible feat. And there's no reason to believe that she's not going to have the same type of season, if not better, moving into this season. And Chloe's just a phenomenal player. Every shot she takes goes in. She has a tremendous IQ. I don't see a reason where, you know, this year wouldn't play out exactly how we'd expect.
It was fascinating from my perspective, seeing how the Twerton race unfolded to end last season. Madison Taylor with her record-setting goals season, setting the new mark with such a prolific year into, you know, Chloe wins the Twerton after winning the national championship. She loses her sister, Ashley, and obviously Nicole as well. Ashley being the assist maker. Was there any consideration of, listen, there's going to be a very fresh new attack line down there in Chapel Hill. How is Chloe going to cope with that? But then, like, from my perspective, you see how she played throughout the fall with Team USA and everything like that. Was there ever any discussion like that with Madison Taylor kind of vying for that spot as well?
I mean, you could swap them back and forth. I think Madison Taylor is just unbelievable, incredible goal scorer as well. But I think undefeated national champions led by a redshirt freshman, Twerton winner, you know, if we were to say, you know, North Carolina going into 2026 season shouldn't be ranked number one, it doesn't seem like it really makes that much sense. You know, obviously, whoever ends up ranked as the second team in the preseason poll could possibly contend for that top spot and potentially win. But given the performance and the resume that she had built going into this season, it's hard to not say she's adapts to kind of whatever is given to her. And knowing the recruiting classes that Jenny Levy has brought in over the course of the last 3 years, you know that she is bringing in talent that are going to support Chloe and the other stars on their roster that return this year, to kind of just continue on as the most dynamic player I think we've seen in a while.
It is amazing how it shook out. The last three national champions, the first three players on our list ranked here, I want to get to a little bit more in depth, and we'll get to the rest of the top 10 and then the rest of the top 20. But just to stay on Chloe for a second here, just Emily, you mentioned just every shot she takes goes in, it feels like. How else does she kind of manifest such a dynamic game on that offensive end? How does she always kind of get her own shot and everything like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, she obviously draws so much attention, and it's her ability to handle that pressure, handle a triple and double team, and still make something out of it. You know, obviously she has a really talented group of players around her that can help work through that. But she's not someone that's just going to pull herself out of the game. She's always going to find a way to incorporate herself, whether that's drawing the slide and feeding it or, you know, fighting through. She's one of, you know, the best players I've seen fight through a double and triple team and still get a shot off and find the back of the net, which I find really impressive. Her stick work was just absolute, and, you know, both hands. So I don't know. I don't foresee us, you know, having her play this coming season and seeing anything different, if not better, you know. Around the USA team, she's able to, you know, play with whoever. Obviously, there's a different level of connection when you're playing with your sisters, but I think she's going to make most of anyone that's around her, and she's going to elevate the level of play around her.
We've all seen the viral wall ball videos with her hitting the wall with some fancy pizzazz, right, with both hands behind the back and everything. It is crazy how skilled she is, and to your point of, you know, she's always making the right play.
But it will be a very different look, and she's going to have to work through some of the kinks. It kind of reminds me of what 2025 was for Madison Taylor. I was one of the people saying, like, oh, well, you know, let's see how she does with Erin Quickendall and Ezzie Skane graduated. And I mean, oh my gosh, what a fool you feel like when she comes up and scores 109 goals that season. It's like, we'll see how she does. Oh, just set a record. Like, she did just fine. And, you know, it's like great players adapt to the situation. Like I was saying earlier, you know, Chloe Humphrey, she's absolutely dynamic in the ride. Like, she's so fast, back checks, she causes turnovers. And, you know, what's part of North Carolina's DNA has always been that they're just unbelievable in transition. You go back to the Ali Mastroianni days, Jamie Ortega, like, they just took such advantage of just putting pressure on, not fouling, and creating havoc when a team is trying to clear the ball. And I think that's where she is going to kind of get that energy. And when I was a player as well, it's like, if you're getting shut off, if you're having a hard time getting going in settled offense, the best way to get yourself going is just to create plays in between the 30s in transition, and just settle in that way. And then, you know, whether it's a defense adjusting or trying to change something, it's just sometimes the game slows down in settled play and makes it easier.
Yeah, it's a great shout. I think we'll see those assist numbers increase as well with more defensive attention solely on her and having to incorporate some of her teammates this year. Let's move on to the number two ranked player for the 2026 season, the cover star of our face-off yearbook. Get yours today. Madison Taylor, like we mentioned, breaking records, breaking ankles. She's a slick lefty. Emily, what do you expect to see from Taylor in 26 here?
More the same. A lot of goals. She, I think, you know, losing the Tour to Chloe Humphrey, if you're going to lose to someone, I think that's the person you want to lose to. But I think Madison Taylor is going to go into the season with a little bit of a chip on her shoulder, as she should, with something to prove. And, you know, the focus is a national championship, but just below that, I believe that she's looking for that Touraton award, and rightfully so. You know, I think she's another super talented, very explosive player. I think where, you know, I don't want to say she misses the mark, but where I think people maybe take a tally off her is her body control. I think some people have accused her of flopping or being a little dramatic, and not fighting through the contact as much as she should. Now you can say it's just part of her game, and, you know, it obviously works for her. And she's playing within the realm of women's lacrosse. But, I mean, to take away the fact that she's a phenomenal goal scorer, has a phenomenal IQ, and, you know, talk about, you know, making transition plays and working in the ride, you'll find Madison Taylor on defense sometimes because she's just full speed running down the field, working so hard, she's not going to pull up at the restraining line. So there's definitely a lot of hustle in her game, and she doesn't seem to run out of, you know, a motor at all.
She's also just on the draw circle, so solid. So I'm interested to see how she and Maddie Epke can kind of, it's just, they're going to be hard to win the ball against, you know, between Maddie Epke just being able to win it to herself and then get it out to Taylor on the wing. Like, her first step off the line is so fast, battling for 50-50s. I just think she plays with a lot of grit and goes out, dives in after ground balls, which is just like, you know, I've always said it's like something you can't teach. It's just a mentality, is like wanting that ball so much. So it'll be fun to see the two of them kind of come together.
Huge transfer for this coming season, Madison Epke. We'll get to her in a few slots down this list. Yeah, Madison Taylor, watching her at Homewood Field in person, like, you really get a sense for, if there's one thing you can't accuse Madison Taylor of, it's not going 100% every possession. Sometimes it does seem a little out of control in terms of her going into the middle and trying to get to pay dirt, but a lot of times it pays off with goals. The third ranked player for the 26th season here, Shay Dolce, a goalie for Boston College. We've seen the save before, and you know, clinching that national title for the Eagles. She comes in to anchor this Boston College defense. What makes her the top ranked goalie and the third ranked player on this list?
I think the proof is in the pudding. That makes her the top ranked goalie. You know, she plays the biggest and the best on the biggest stage. She's just one of those players. It seems like I would say the same thing about Taylor too. It's just, they always have a smile on their face when they're playing, like, just calm, collected, just playing with joy. And I think when you're playing like that, you play loose, you play well, and so it allows you to make the save and then some when you are playing free like that. And I think that's something that, you know, if you listen to Acacia Walker-Weinstein talk about her program, that's something that she really wants her players to do, is be enjoying every moment and just really focus on your teammates and just being in the moment. And I think Dolce does that. She's makes saves, is a great outlet passer. I think she's going to be a key piece. If she has a really solid season, she's going to be a key piece of getting Boston College back to the national championship game, which is something that they missed for, I don't, I'm not off the top of my head, but like they had been, made it till some ridiculous number of championship games in a row, maybe 8 or 9. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off on that, but it was up there.
Yeah, 7 or 8, one of those two for sure. And, you know, falling short in the semifinals last year. Maybe another player with a chip on her shoulder coming into this spring. Fourth ranked player, Corey Edmondson, a bit of a do it all player for you. Emily, what makes her so dynamic, and just how much does her athleticism impact the game?
Yeah, she's definitely, well, she's number 4, and she's definitely the best two way midfielder that you have on this list. You know, she's been doing a lot. I said to Alyssa recently, I was like, I can't believe Corey's still in college, because you just feel like you've heard her name for so long that she's been such a key player for the Terps for the last few years. You know, this year she's coming in with a major leadership role, this, you know, senior class title, and I'm sure that she has the motivation to get her team to a Final Four weekend. And she's one of those people that her teammates are going to follow. So whatever her goals are, she has a support around her to, you know, make it happen.
Edmondson has seemed like she, like you said, has kind of led the Terps ever since she was a freshman as one of their better players, right? To see her take up the mantle as a senior now will be fascinating to see how far she can take them. Another midfielder at number 5, Alyssa, what makes Kay Galica one of the best in the nation?
Well, her ability to win the draw and then play offense, you know, in a time where we've really leaned into, you know, draw specialists, the fact that she can win and then push the pace and be a part of the offense is a huge add for Virginia. You know, coming off her best season yet in her sophomore year and ACC Midfielder of the Year is really, you know, huge for Virginia to kind of get over that hump of, I feel like they've been really stuck getting knocked out that second round. They haven't been in a quarterfinal for a bit. So I think she and her fellow Virginia players on this list, they had a really strong now junior class that I think can really help them, nudge them in that direction. But she kind of just, when you watch Virginia play, it's like you can't miss her. She just does everything. She is all over 50-50 balls in the midfield. She's all over. She's relentless on defense. And then just being able to be as impactful on offense as she is, as a straightaway downhill dodger. And she's a very solid cutter off ball as well. She's just all around impressive.
Yeah, and a bit of a free reign to do it all, right? In that Virginia system, she kind of needs to, and she does it so well. Emily, number 6, we got the top-ranked defender on the list out of Boston College, Shay Baker. Any fan that's been watching championship weekends the last few years knows this name, and why has she stayed so consistent through these years?
I love watching Shay Baker play. She has, you know, if Shay Dolte is playing with a smile on her face, Shay Baker is playing with this mean mug of intensity. You know, she has this like laser focus where she's just watching her girl's hips, and any way she moves, she's ready to go with her. It's almost like she's moving simultaneously with the player she's up against. She is relentless, you know, just aggressive pressure. And you think at some point it's going to let up, it's going to die down, and it doesn't. I think she's just a really talented defender. She's extremely hard to beat. And you can tell her coaches put a lot of faith and trust in her because she takes a lot of chances. And, you know, most of the time, a majority of the time, they're panning out. And you can tell that's something that takes a lot of reps and a lot of trust and a lot of free range in practice to come to fruition in games.
Someone who puts up tons of stats, you know, doing some of the Isle of Women fantasy contest from here and there. You're going to want this name if you see her available. Mazanepki, we mentioned her coming over from James Madison for her last year of eligibility to the Lake Show. Alyssa, what makes Epke such a force on the draw and everywhere else?
Well, she's a phenomenal athlete to begin. You know, she's got a great combination of, you know, explosiveness, strength, kind of allows her to just have a motor that continues on, because obviously at James Madison, she was kind of a do-it-all player. Now at Northwestern, and you never know how a transfer is going to pan out, but just seeing her impact on Team USA rosters, the U20 team, she was got familiar with Taylor and Kelly Monte Hiller, who was the head coach of that. I believe it was last year. Time is never something I am good at, but I believe it was the 2024 summer that they played together. But she is just, she's dynamic. I mean, a career, not even a full career, has 485 draw controls at James Madison. I think that's, you know, the starting point for it all. Not to mention 139 goals and 74 assists. Like, she can do it all. And so I think if you look at Northwestern's performances down the stretch last year, it kind of felt like they were missing another, like, 1-2 punch. And I think Epke could be perfect for that. And also, you know, you win a lot of games when you have the ball. So,
yeah.
Certainly does not help hurt the matters. And not to take away from just Northwestern's other, they obviously have other people that can take the draw when it's not working for Epke. But I just, you know, to be honest, I have not seen that many times where it hasn't worked on the draw for Epke to say, like, she's the only one that can do it.
Just the perfect Sam Smith replacement, right? And you bring Epke in and... Listen, Northwestern is hosting championship weekend. Will we see Epke and Madison Taylor there? We shall see.
It would be pretty cool.
It would be. It's going to be a great lake show for all the fans. Make sure to get your tickets. No, so I do want you two to stop me when we get to the part where, because I feel like every ranking we do, there's a part of the list that, you know, all right, it's easy so far ranking this X amount of players. When did it get hard? Because at number 8, we've got our first Florida entry, Caitlin Davies, midfielder. Was it outside the top 10, inside the top 10, where it got a little mixed up for ranking-wise? And how did Davies fit in there?
For me... after 10, my list was like, oh man, like, and that's, you know, sometimes when we're ranking these classes, you feel like you've got the 25 clear cut. That's usually how I feel like it is. But this year it was just like so many players, with the exception of some transfers where it's like, you just don't know how they're going to pan out. So many players had a great year, and it's like, okay, they might stay there or they might exponentially advance. And it's just kind of like, we'll see.
Right.
So that's it. For me, it was like, okay, Caitlin Davies coming off of a great year. And then the following two in the top 10 coming off of their best years. This makes sense. After that, it's like, okay, we'll see.
Totally. It's such a hard balance to strike between production that you've seen and potential breakout ability. Davies, just to harp on her, the Big 12 midfielder of the year. She played so well for those Gators to make it back to their second straight Final Four appearance. Anything else? Pardon me. Emily, you like about Davies' game?
I mean, obviously, she's a phenomenal goal scorer. And, you know, it's fun watching the Florida offense the way they operate and the many dynamic players they have on the field. But she's definitely one of their go-to players. I mean, 51 goals, Big 12 midfielder of the year. I think she's just very solid and very consistent.
We'll get to another Gator inside the top 20 here in a second here. Just to round out the top 10, we've got Sam Forrest, defender out of North Carolina at 9, and Aaliyah Pawlowski, one of the best stories in college lacrosse out of Tennessee, an attacker for Stanford. Starting with Forrest, for either one of you, how much did she push Shea Baker into being the top defender of the nation? And what makes her so elite?
I mean, she is just a dynamic. I mean, it's, you know, you're really splitting hairs when you're going to these top 10 players and saying what one does better than the other. And, you know, for their respective programs, they are like the girl, the woman. So like Forrest, she just coming off of her best year, she's so fast. Oh my gosh. And wears like neon cleats that are just like a blur or like bright colored cleats. I just, she might not this year, but we'll see. And just her ability to stay in front is unbelievable. You know, the culture of North Carolina defense is just slow sliding, play straight up one-on-one defense, you know, going back to Emma Trenchard. They've had like Brooklyn Walker Welch. They've had, you know, just all these really, even going back further than that, I can name so many North Carolina defenders that are just, you don't need to send sides. They're so athletic, so strong. They really focus on the angles that they're letting up and where they're directing the ball. And so they're just always on that same page. And to have Sam Forrest being that top player and just she can take away the other team's top player without needing a slide. It's like, okay, well then option 2, 3, and 4 on their opponent's team have that much harder of a time to get something going when they're not, the North Carolina defense is not ever spinning or even leaving their player. So, you know, for her to never need a slide for top marking up on the top player, it's like, oh my gosh, unbelievable.
What a luxury to have. Emily, is she another player where you know, you're not seeing the smile too much during
she's locking in. I think one of the biggest assets to her game, like Alyssa said, is her speed, but her ability to buy into this North Carolina transition game. So, you know, going back to what, you know, we talked about with Chloe Humphrey, you know, we might be missing some offensive players that, you know, made Chloe, will help Chloe become the player that she was. But when you have key players like Forrest on transition, any unsettled situation, Chloe's going to capitalize. And someone like Sam Forrest is going to help her do that.
Just superior athleticism, roaming the fields, creating a transition out of defensive stops. To round out the top 10, Aaliyah Pawlowski, Alyssa, I want you to take this one. Another slick lefty. What makes her, A, touch on her being a great story? I think you've written about her in the past. And B, just how she's carried this Cardinal team into greater heights here.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to talk with Aaliyah not too long ago, maybe like a month ago, about just her path to Stanford. And, you know, she graduated early from high school and spent the spring semester of what would have been her senior year at Stanford developing and, you know, talking about that experience and learning from the older players to then, you know, coming into her own as a redshirt freshman and then being as dynamic as she was coming in. And now it just seems like everything she's doing every year since, her goal is to kind of fine tune and fine tune and fine tune. And talking to Danielle Spencer about her, she compared her to Josh Allen, who coming into the league with the Bills was kind of wild in and free and, you know, but made some mistakes. And so But now you look at him and he's just, well, not his last game, obviously. not his best, but that's okay. I'm not even a Bills fan, but here I am apologizing for him. but, you know, she, every year, it just, she's really fine-tuning her skills and stepping up a level and stepping up a level. And this is, she has had, you know, the top defender marking her since her freshman year. And so I think when you're going through that sort of experience, there's no choice if you want to have an impact but to level up. And I think she has the athleticism and quickness to do that and the spirit to it. So, you know, talking with her was really fun because she just loves the game. She's excited for the opportunity coming from a non-hotbed area. Just really fun to talk to her, and I'm excited to see her play this year.
That wraps up the top 10. For these next 10 players, Alyssa and Emily, I want to group a few of them together with their position groups, starting with the midfield, because at 11, we have Natalie Shurtleff out of Clemson and Bridget Duffy out of Army, Emma Muchnick out of Syracuse. A little bit different games between the three of them, but they all impact the game in similar ways, right? Just what do you see out of those three in particular for midfielders, and how they crack their way into the top 20?
Yeah, I mean, Natalie Shurtleff is definitely the most polished of the three. Coming out of Baltimore, I think that kind of speaks for itself. She's just a very reliable two-way midfielder. But Bridget Duffy is just incredible. I mean, two-sport athlete, USA team member, you know, setting records at Army. She is just a spark on the field and so much fun to watch. And maybe not as polished as the other two middies that we've mentioned, but she's getting the job done.
Yeah, she's going full throttle right at you for the whole duration, right?
Yeah, I think she's also the heartbeat, for sure, of the team. You know, I think Bridget Duffy has just been all like Army's main girl for as long as she's been there. And I know the way that Michelle Tumalo talks about her is that she just really, really loves her, loves what she brings to the table, obviously as a player, but leader as well. And so, you know, I think Army has a really good shot at a Patriot League title. Obviously, I think Navy is going to give them a run for their money. But I think if Duffy can stay healthy and it may remain a contributor, they've got probably what would be their best shot at a Patriot League title that their program has had so far.
We're going to come back to this in terms of players who might outperform their ranking this season. But first glance at the list, Bridget Duffy and Eliza Osborne at number 22 were two of the surprises for me that I thought they could have been higher. We'll get your reactions on that. Hold your horses, Emily and Alyssa. I want to talk to you about the attackers in this batch of players here. We got Haven Dora, Gianna Monaco, Franny Hahn, Olivia Adamson, Marissa White. Those last two finding themselves in new destinations for the 2026 season. All very smooth players. What makes them crack the top 20 in this list?
Well, I think Marissa White stepping into a Boston College program that needs a top attacker is just a huge opportunity for her. And so I think that's a big part of what kind of gave her the number 15 ranking, is knowing her ability, knowing she was a top scorer at North Carolina prior to her injury. And then walking into a program that desperately really needs, not desperately, but really needs a player with experience and a player that knows how to score some points, given their graduation of their top three scorers. I think she's going to be able to kind of step right in. And then Adamson, obviously coming off an injury, but has proven that kind of she can figure out how to be an impact player no matter the role. You know, she played alongside the Tyrells and Megan Carney, and kind of just she's kind of just adapts into whatever role the team needs. So kind of gives faith that, you know, she's going to be able to walk into Northwestern and figure out what role she needs to fill in order to be an impact and to be a, you know, if you're talking pluses, plus and minus player, and how to be a plus player for the Wildcats. And then Han, coming off of her redshirt freshman year, you know, just dynamic. You know, she came in and just made such a big impact right off the bat. And hard to not look at Florida's success and look at her as one of the key points to that. Dora, same, you know, she's just so, you know, such a great creator, great quarterback. And then Monaco is very close to Han because it's like they're a 1-2 punch. So, I mean, Emily, I kind of took over the attackers there. I don't know if I missed anything. But yeah, that's kind of my take on the attack. And again, you know, we could get this all wrong and it's going to be like, okay, well, either way. But these players, you know, they have great resumes and, you know, there's a reason for them to be in here. And you look at 21 to 40 and who knows, it could be a completely different year than it was last year.
Well, I do appreciate having Franny Han and Gianna Monaco very close together because, yeah, watching Florida, I sometimes struggle to see who has more impact on the game. You know, Monaco is the goal scorer, right? And Han being the assist maker, it seems like, from the write-ups, if that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, like, Han's a true quarterback. She can score as well. But it's just, like, they're tandem together. So, you know, they, when one's playing well, it, often the other one is, because defense is, it's hard to adjust and constantly be like, okay, let's focus more here. Now we got to focus more here. So it's just, they're a good balance for one another.
Yeah. I'll share my two cents about Haven Dora. I actually coached her in an event when she was in seventh grade and thought this girl is going to be really good. She has something special. And it's really cool to see someone that excelled in seventh grade now end up on a top 50 Division I player list. So
the Emily impact.
Yeah, she was, you know, even that, when obviously she's 5'3", she's on the smaller side, but seventh grade she was obviously what, 4'10", and she was just dominating the field. So it's really cool to see someone of her, you know, stature play a quarterback role on a very high level team. She has a phenomenal IQ, and, you know, she's someone that I've loved watching over the years just develop and really, you know, end up leading this Princeton program.
It's the beautiful thing about lacrosse. You can be any size and have an impact on the game. Her high IQ makes the difference for that Tigers offense. Couple defenders I want to hit on quickly, and then I want to get to that question about who can outperform their ranking maybe in the rest of the list here. Number 12, we saw the crazy cause turnover numbers from Reagan O'Brien out of Johns Hopkins, and of course the name we know, quite familiar face for Team Canada and in Tar Heel Blue, Carolina Blue. That's Brooklyn Walker Welch. Emily, you've had the mean streak with the defenders. You want to take these two?
Yeah. I mean, Reagan O'Brien has been a key player for the Blue Jays. And, you know, you look at their record from last year, 13-7, and you think, you know, it's solid, but the year they had is so much more than that. They really had some, you know, they beat Penn. They had some really great close wins and losses, you know, losing to Florida by one in their opening game, losing to, beating Stony Brook, beating Syracuse in overtime. You know, their season was was really phenomenal. And I'm excited to see someone like Reagan O'Brien come back for her senior season and, you know, where she could help lead the Blue Jays this year.
Brooklyn Walker-Welsh, another lefty eraser for the Tar Heels. You know, we talked about her plenty. I'm not sure how much we have to add. She's experienced. She's talented. Listen, Emily, before we get out of here, I want to get your thoughts on the rest of the list. What was challenging for you, and who do you think might prove us wrong when we look back at this list at season's end?
I mean, literally everyone. I'm just looking at 21 and on, and, you know, I'm starting 21, Lydia Colasanto coming back from an injury. She could be the best defender in the country by the season's end. Like, she was off to such a great season in 2025 before going down. Eliza Osborne finished the year playing the best lacrosse she's played, could easily be top five Twarton finalist. You know, we just don't know. Alyssa Chung finished the year peak. Of her season, led Navy to a Patriot League title, could be easily bumped. Isabella Caparuso, same thing. Jenica Cuoco has been playing at Drexel and has been known as one of the best goalies in Division One, has had unreal save percentages. We just don't know how she's going to pan out at Northwestern, but she could be, again, sort of the Molly LaLiberty, the Delaney Schweitzer for Northwestern. Just to continue, Michaela MacLeod, same thing at Clemson. Ava Arseri coming off of her best year. The list goes on. As I scroll, I'm like, yeah, Madison Rass is another. She got hurt mid-year. Notre Dame had a really young squad last year. You know, if they mature and learn a lot from what they had last season, they could be another ACC contender again. Kind of just can go on and on about it. It's really crazy. It's Jordan Case, another huge one. You know, she's a player that's battled injury, but, in talking with Danielle Spencer, she's been moved to the attack or into the midfield, excuse me. Now that she's fully healthy and they expect her to just have a dominant year. It's just things like that. It's like it's intangible. I'm so excited for the season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That, you know, for everyone to keep in mind that this is just a starting point, and that things can shift, you know, on day one.
Best thing about preseason, defying expectations. We shall see who can do it for 2026. Lasting thoughts as we conclude this top 50 Isle Women podcast. What did we learn? What are we expecting? Where do we go from here? All of the above.
Lasting thoughts. I am excited to see how the goalies pan out. I think Shay is obviously, you know, starting the year at number one, and Betty Nelson is, you know, in this list, and she's had a phenomenal, like, progression in her playing year so far. So I'm excited to see how she does this year. And I've always been a Janica fan, just coming from the CAA myself. So I'm excited to see how she does with a new defensive unit in front of her.
I'm excited to, you know, be in Evanston for the Final Four. You know, hopefully it's sunny and warm and nice. You never know with Memorial Day, but I'm excited to kind of see these teams compete and see who makes it out there. I feel like it's just going to kind of be a really awesome year. I think building upon the youth of what last year kind of brought, so many young, impactful players, to kind of see how they develop. There's so many sophomore and juniors that could be, you know, just building upon a really awesome season last year. And I'm kind of excited to see who levels up again, and
see some of the best lacrosse. I think every year it just seems like the talent pool gets bigger and deeper, and just really exciting.
Very exciting indeed. The season is fast approaching. That'll do it for this edition of the Isle Women Top 50 podcast. If you like what you heard, share with a friend, leave a review, and bring it back here to InsideLacrosse.com for the full analysis of the top 50 countdown. And make sure to get your Face Off yearbook too. It's a nice laid out imprint for you to keep forever. Thank you again for listening, and let's go and have a great season.